Okay, class, good evening again. Welcome to Living by the Book. I open us to Hebrews chapter 4. And we'll do a little reading here and get to some points. Last week, we were talking about being discerned. I think it was a wonderful revelation about letting Jesus discern us. So many times we're asking for discernment instead of realizing that we need to be discerned. First, love your neighbor like you love yourself. So you be discerning first before you can discern anything else around you. And so allowing the Holy Spirit, allowing Jesus, the person of Jesus to be the discernment of who we are. And all he's doing is cutting us loose and showing us the parts of us that's truly us and the parts of us that have clinged to us so tightly and are masquerading as us, are masquerading as our true identity. The way he describes it here in Hebrews 4, and we'll read a little bit and we get down to that. But verse 4, verse 1, let us therefore fear, lest a promise being left of us, entering into his rest. Underline the word rest. Any of you should seem to come short of it. For unto us was the gospel preached, as well as unto them, but the word we preach did not profit them, not being mixed with faith in them that heard it. For we which have believed do enter into, there's that word again, rest. As he said, as I sworn in my wrath, if they shall enter into my rest, although the works were finished from the foundation of the world. For he spake in a certain place of the seventh day on this wise, and God did rest the seventh day from all his works. He keep on saying rest. And in that place again, if they shall enter into my rest. Understand he's saying my rest, not just any rest, but my rest. Seeing therefore you remain, and some must enter therein, and they whom it was first preached entered not in because of unbelief. Again, who they first preached entered not in because of unbelief. Again, he limited a certain day, saying in David, today, after so long a time, as it is said today, if you will hear his voice, harden not your hearts. For if Jesus had given them, there's a word again, rest, then would he not afterward have spoken of another day? There remaineth therefore a rest to the people of God. Now, the focus is not rest, but rest is a major component in what we're going to do and what we're going to say. And it should be a major result of doing this, being discerned, and doing this, living by the book proper. For he that has entered into his own rest, he also has ceased from his own works, as God did from his. Are y'all listening? Let us labor, therefore, to enter into that rest. We're laboring to enter into that rest. We're laboring. It doesn't seem like it makes sense. We're working hard, or we're working to enter into that rest. We're laboring to enter into that rest. Lest any man should fall after the same example of unbelief. And here we go to the scripture we all know. For the word of God is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the dividing asunder of soul and spirit, and of the joints and marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. Now, we underline rest, make sure I want you to keep that for a minute. But it says, for the word of God is quick. That doesn't mean it's fast, but it can be fast. But it really means it's alive and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword. I mean, it cuts both ways. Piercing even to dividing asunder of the soul and spirit. Then he goes on describing the joints and marrows and discerning of the thoughts and intents of the heart. Now he throws in joints and marrows because when you're talking about bone and bone marrow, this is not an easy thing to divide with a sword. It's got to be so sharp and so precise to be able to separate the bone from the marrow. That's how much they're intertwined. So he's talking about our soul and our spirit. He's also talking about the thoughts and intents of our heart. And the reason he describes it this way, because there are things, there are ideas, there are thoughts that we've been taught, that we've been shown, even some things we've been shown in the scripture, erroneously, or the way we taught it, that has clung itself to our soul and has attached itself to our soul and to our being and is masqueraded, like I said at the beginning, as our true identity. And here's the kicker. The word, if you don't know what it means about the word, then you'll never be discerned properly. See, a lot of us have been trying to be discerned by the scripture, but the scripture, what the law could not do, the scripture cannot discern you properly. Why? Because you always have an excuse. You can always say it's on that paper. You can always say it, and it doesn't really push you to the wall and hold you by your throat and really make you breathe out those things or cough up those things that aren't part of who you are. But the word of God, John chapter 1, flip over real quick, John chapter 1. Remember now it says the word of God is quick and powerful. Well, what is the word of God? And you know the scripture, we've been going to the scripture over and over again. John chapter 1, we're going to drop verse 12. But as men received him, he gave you power to become the sons of God, even them that believe on his name. Remember we were talking about in Hebrews unbelief, about this unbelief. You weren't able to enter into that rest because you didn't, the word was preached, but you didn't mix it with faith. You didn't believe. But as men received him, to them give you power to become the sons of God, even them that believe on his name, which were born not of blood, nor of the will of flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God. Verse 14. And the word, when we're talking about the word of God is quick and powerful and sharper, right? The word was made flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory as the glory of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. So now we see that the word of God is not just ink on a paper, or it's not just scribbles on a tablet, but it's actually a living, live being in Jesus. So now, Jesus is quick and powerful, and sharper than any two-edged sword. You know, dividing the sun, he said, is discerning of the thoughts and intents of the heart. Dividing the sun of the joints and the marrow and the soul and the spirit. Jesus, the alive Christ, the person of Christ, is the discerner of who we are. Once again, this is why I stress so much. It won't take me very, very long to finish this class, because I stress so much about getting into these red words and learning more about Christ and the person of the Christ, because this is the only way that we are discerned and we are shaped and chiseled into the people that God has called us to be. Right now, we're carrying a lot of things. Matthew chapter 11, go. I don't know if I'm skipping over. Matthew chapter 11, before you go over there, let's go to John 5:39 real quick. And you know the scripture, but we'll read it. John chapter 5, 39. I don't have to wait until y'all turn the page because we're online. So search the scriptures. For in them you think you have eternal life, and they are they which testify of me. We're very clear about this, that these scriptures are testifying, these red words of Jesus, of him. He said, verse 40, and you will not come to me that you might have life. So now we see that these are a trail to him. The scriptures are a trail to him. But many people get lost in the scriptures and never make it to him. Therefore, they're lost in the ritual, they're lost in the law, they're lost in trying to do it, but never are discerned. The difference between your servanthood and your sonship is your discernment through Christ. If Christ does not discern you, you will live your life being a servant and never access the benefits of being a son. When you become a son, servanthood is included. But sonship is not always included in servanthood because you don't know what the master is doing. Jesus says this. He says, I no longer call you servants, but I call you friends. I'm taking you to another level. I've taken you to another state of relationship with me because I've taught you everything that I know. It's a different level. So here we go now. The scriptures, the difference between me knowing it all, you know what I'm saying, and being one with the Father and having access to all that the Father knows, or me just serving the Father, just blindly just trying to do what he tells me to do and not even know that I'm doing the right thing, right, is me being discerned. I'll say it again. We've got to allow the word of God, which is the word of Jesus, which is Jesus in the flesh, to discern us. Every time you saw Jesus come in contact with somebody, he discerned them. He not only discerned their situation, but he discerned them. I want you to go look at it. The woman at the well, the woman kind of, I mean, we can name all day long all these different people. He was discerning. Peter, Paul, all of them. He discerned them all. When you come in contact with Jesus, there's an instant discernment that happens. This is the purpose of the word. It is not to know a bunch of scriptures or know how to quote a bunch of things and be a Bible thumper, they call them. It's not for that. It's to allow yourself to submit to the true character of Christ and let it discern you from all these other characters that may be good. Remember, good was on that tree, knowledge of good and evil, but not God. There are things and rituals and ways that we walk in and beliefs that we have that are good things and they seem to be moral, but they may not be God. They may not be Christ in the flesh. They may not be the way God is wanting to do it. I prove it to you. I'm reading today in Luke, and Jesus goes to the Pharisees' house to eat, and then he comes out. There's a man with a dropsy, they say. He has a dropsy. And the dropsy was like something was wrong with his face. Had a dropsy, right? And Jesus turned to them. Because the Sabbath, he said, is it lawful to heal on the Sabbath day? Now, what he's asking. At that time, the moral thing was no work on the Sabbath. The moral thing was we don't do anything on the Sabbath. That was the moral. That was the right thing. That was the good thing to do. But I don't see that thing being good at that moment if a man is there needing healing, but I don't heal him because I'm trying to do the right thing. Doesn't make any sense. I don't heal this man that is right in front of me, and I have the ability to do so, but I don't do it because it's the right thing to do according to the rules. Right? It's the good thing according to the law of the land at the moment. No. But it may be the good thing according to the law of the land, but not the law of the Lord. Are you understanding me? So now Jesus heals the man and asks him, well, any of y'all, if you have an oxen or one of your, and is down, is about to, you know, losing in a pit, or is about to, would you not go get it on the Sabbath? He's superseding the law to God's law. He's discerning them. That's why he's asking questions. Jesus was a master at asking questions. Why did he ask so many questions? Because he was discerning people. Well, whom do men say that I am? He say, how are we going to feed all these people? Right? He's asking these questions. Who touched me? He's asking these questions because he is discerning. His whole point is to discern us so that we can see who we really are in him. This is the whole point. But if we don't see that, then we go along the same pendulum swing, and we go along the same ritual, quoting scripture, and then it becomes humdrum. And then eventually, and this is where we always end up questioning God, end up wondering, do it really work, and all this stuff. It's not about whether it works. It's working you. Everybody talking about working the word. No, let the word of God, the true nature of Christ, work you, work us. So here we are. The word of God is quick and powerful, sharper than a two-edged sword. John 1, it said the word, it took the word from off the page to a person in John 1 and John 5. So the scripture, and you think you have life, but they testify of me. John 1, the word of God dwelt among us. The word became flesh and dwelt among us. Go to Matthew chapter 11 real quick. And the theme is still the same, but I'm just giving these scriptures so you can see them. And you need to jump into these red words. These red words will unfold every other word to you in the Bible. And he says this, he says, verse 27, he says, all things delivered, and you read context, all things delivered unto me of my Father. No man knoweth the Son but the Father, neither knoweth any man the Father save the Son. And to whomsoever the Son will reveal him, the Son will reveal him, the Son will reveal him, the Son will discern him. The Son will open it up and reveal the Father to you and reveal you to the Father and show you what you and the Father look like. Watch this. Verse 28, come unto me all that labor and heavy laden, and I will give you rest. I remember the scripture in Hebrews says, so let us labor until we enter into that rest. All right, watch this. Let us labor until we enter into that rest. We kept on seeing the word rest in Hebrews. Come unto me all you that, they go to the word again, labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn of the scriptures. Ain't what it say. Learn the word. Ain't what it says. Learn the command. Ain't what it said. He said, take my yoke upon you and learn of me. Now he takes it from a ritual or a principle to a person. If I tell you, don't read the book, come talk to me. There's a difference now. Now there's a different demand on you. There's a different demand on your person. There's a different discernment of you as you're talking to a live individual. There's a difference between you reading a book I have or reading me. Talking to me. You get me? Come unto me. Don't, all right, cool. I got you there. Come unto me. For I am meek and lowly in heart. Come unto me and learn of me. And this is what I want you to learn. Meekness and lowliness of heart. Watch this. And ye shall find rest, that same rest we're talking about there, for your souls, for my yoke is easy and my burden is light. He's trying to give us some clarity and wisdom on something that's so simple. It all begins with us coming to Jesus as the person, not as the figurehead, not just as our Savior. And even when we call him our Savior, this is how he's saving us. He's saving us by discerning us. Everything from Jesus' beginning of his ministry to crucify on the cross, to resurrect it, was all a discerning moment for all of us. It was showing us who we are and how we are and who how we should be. And it discerned us. You're laboring. The labor should be studying the Word of God, living by the book. We learned it could be laborious. I got to read some chapters every day, and I got to study, and I got to put everything on the side. Labor, no. But at the end of this labor should be rest. If you really come to Christ in that, the reason the labor goes on and goes on for so long is because we never get to Him in John 5:40. We never get to Him. We never realize, we never yield to that position. So we never realize that that's our end goal. And so because we don't realize that's our end goal, we laboring through the Word. We working for 40 years, 30 years, 20 years. We're working the Word, not getting the results that we should get because we're not coming all the way to Him. It shouldn't take that long. Because if we realize that we're coming to Him, right? He said, I'm going to give you rest. But then when you come and learn of Him, you'll find the rest. You'll find the rest for your soul. You'll find the rest, and it becomes easy. I want to take these burdens off because the Word of God should not be difficult or laborious or heavy for you. It should be something that should be fun. We read in Living by the Book. It says, you got shredded wheat and you got strawberries and cream. It should be strawberries and cream in your mentality if you knew. What was it like? Strawberries and cream, red words on white paper. That's funny, right? It should be this if you knew that you were going to see Jesus. Jesus makes the Word of God alive. He makes the story alive to you and in you and makes it where you can't get enough. The only reason that people have to struggle to keep reading and different things like that and have to fight through to try to serve the Lord because they don't realize that the Lord is serving them. Amen. That's a declared. Amen.